Welcome to another exciting episode of Video Game Bang. Video Game Bang. Your weekly source for all things video game. Featuring your fearless hosts, Corey Vincent.
I'm pretty much Microsoft and Marvel. The cans are on. It's when ish gets real.
Shot during the day?
And Aaron Carter.
Buy the armor, I equip it, and it's like Pink Thong. The guy that delivers vending machine items in my job. He can play the Rhino.
Fill up your Mountain Dew and grab your Doritos. It's time for Video Game Bang.
The thirst is absolutely real, everybody. I am Sir Aaron Carter, and you are listening to The Weekend Bang, powered by NRG, everybody. Brought to you by Oblivion Comics and Coffee. Keep the comics and the coffee, right?
You whiffed that one pretty damn hard. Yep. It's all right, though. And you started off weak by saying NRG. Who the hell are you? It's not NRG.
I said powered. First of all, by NRG.
Yeah, well, it's still wrong. It's energy. Get it right.
Antlion Audios. Keep your headphones, get them on mic, is also a sponsor. And, of course, the, I keep forgetting their freaking tagline.
Who's?
Remind me.
Which one?
It's,
Mainframe USA?
No.
Insane in the Mainframe.
There we go. Insane in the Mainframe.
Right. Insane in the Mainframe.
Mainframe USA, everybody. Insane in the Mainframe. On today's show, everybody, behind the ones and twos, the man that signed the bill to keep all Muslims out of America, Corey Vincent.
And I do it again.
Terrible.
Holy crap. No,
terrible.
ACLU is going to shut us down.
That
was
even bad for me. No, that was. No, that is pure hate speech, and we don't talk politics on the show. Aaron, you know better than that.
Oh, that wasn't politics. We haven't begun politics yet. Also on the show, everybody, to my right, because the left is wrong, the real David Webb.
I was a thinker.
That was, wow. Again, with the politics.
Wow. Actually, you know what?
What's going on, everybody?
I didn't even think about that until you said that. I swear to you, I didn't even think about that. Sure. The left and right,
I see what you were doing, because right is right and left is right.
That's
okay.
The only reason. You really deep thought into that one.
I did.
Wow.
There's layers.
Okay.
It's like an onion.
Jeez. Okay, here we go. Here we go, people. And, of course, on the show, they're here week in, week out. The chat room, everybody. Say
what's up, chat? What did you
cool,
do?
Cool. Wow, there
we go.
They're just freaking.
They never reply.
Yeah. But also, special guest on the show today. I'm excited, everybody. Two-time, or maybe three-time? I'm not sure yet. NBA champion. Tim Duncan is here, everybody.
No. We couldn't get Tim Duncan.
Oh,
no.
Shoot.
It's a different
he said
Tim.
No.
Damn it.
But I got better.
Okay.
I went above and beyond this time.
Yeah, you did.
And I got us the best Anna support. The best support. The best player.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I'm going there. The best player in North America. No, fuck it. Not North America. The best player in the world. He started humble beginnings down in TF2, climbed the ranks all the way into the premier team of Overwatch. His name is Tim Dummy Olsen. Say hello, Tim.
Hey, guys. Glad to be here. And yeah, I mean, definitely the best player in the world. You know, it's not really for me to say, but you said it. So now that it's out there,
you got to
fight you on it.
You're an esports now. Okay, you're a professional esports athlete. Athlete.
Yes. Yeah. What do you prefer, Tim? I've heard so many different things. Are you an athlete?
I mean, I just say pro gamer. I don't know. I don't really care. But like, yeah. It's just I'm a pro gamer. Like, I don't really need to label myself as an athlete or anything. I mean, it is kind of like if anything, I'd be on the side of saying that we're not athletes, because I just think of like physical sports when I think of athlete, but.
But you, sir, are an athlete, right?
I mean,
you're a skateboarder.
Sports, yeah.
You're no slouch.
I mean, just a skateboard. Yeah, I'm terrible at any other sport, really. Like, just skateboarding. Yeah, just skateboarding.
All right, so
I played sports growing up, but I was not good at any of them.
Okay, you got into the esports, and I'm going to guess right here because you just said you were terrible at regular sports. And you apparently dominate your position, correct? The support?
I mean, sure.
Come on, don't be shy here.
No. I mean, like I said, best player in the world.
There you
sure.
go. There you go. There you go.
That's one thing Dummy does not lack. It's confidence. I got to hang out with this dude in Vegas for that tournament, which was a rough go. It was a rough tournament, but Dummy... we talked about this too when we did our interview. Like, it seems like a lot of people, when they lose, I don't like when people lose and then they're just like, oh, shucks, I'll get them next time. But Dummy was like, he was angry. Like, there was a fire. And then when it came to like talking about strats for the next day, like, he was an intense individual. Like, I didn't want to approach him at some points because I was like, fuck, he's like, he's like into this. This is legit. And I appreciate the hell out of that.
I saw a video about you, Dummy, where you said you kind of wear your heart on your sleeve when you go into these tournaments and stuff like that. Why do you feel that is? Like, I mean, you said you took basically all the tournaments as like a, you know, high stakes, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, that's just how I am. I don't, like, I feel like it would take effort to not show, like, how I feel about it and show my emotion. Like, I think it would take effort to do that, and, like, I'm not going to put effort into just, you know, acting a way that I don't really feel. So, I mean, if I just feel a certain way and I show it, that's just how it is.
Okay, there's a thing in you know, I guess physical athletic sports called the zone.
what is it? Can you say it's slower?
It's called the zone. Okay. I don't know if you know about this, Corey.
I have no idea.
What do you? I know that it's probably the same equivalent in esports, Dummy. But what? Take us through that, because you seem like a man of focus whenever you're you know, on the sticks or on the keyboard and mouse.
Yeah, they don't use the sticks.
Excuse me. Man. Excuse me. My console naivety. You know,
that's exactly what it is.
So yeah, take us through one of these tournaments, because you've been at the highest level. You play at the highest levels. What's that like?
Well, it's just, you know, when you're at an event, it just feels like even when you're online or, you know, at home practicing or like doing online tournaments, it doesn't feel the same as when you're at an event. And like when I'm at an event, it's just like I don't really even have to think about it. It just automatically happens. I'm just kind of zoned in on what I want to do and really focused on the tournament. Like, nothing else matters. I'm there for a reason. So I don't know, maybe it's just my personality, or maybe I conditioned myself over the years to think that way without really realizing it, but I just kind of automatically just focus on only one thing, and it's that, and that's to compete when I'm at an event.
Here's a question for the kiddies at home that I definitely want to professional like yourself to chime in on, because everybody, now that esports is everywhere, everybody has a console in the home or a PC in the home, and they're like, I can do that. It's becoming as widespread as the kids with basketballs on the playgrounds. I can be the next Jordan, stuff like that. How much of it is actual practice, and how much of it is natural talent?
I mean, I think most of it is definitely practice, but I think that it's not necessarily natural talent. It kind of is, but it's more like a natural, you know, disposition to like really, like, you really have to just not care about anything except for this thing. Like, this is your, you know, like, if this is your life, like, you really have to just make it your life. You, like, all you do is think about it. All you do is focus on your goals to like rise in, you know, the esports scene. Like, it's literally like that, and that's not talent to me, but I do think that it's a certain type of person. You know, no one can turn themselves into that type of person. So I mean, for me, like, I just felt like I was so focused, and so, you know, my drive for becoming a pro gamer was so high, and I think that's really what made the difference. Like, I don't think I'm necessarily, you know, overly talented. Like, my reaction time isn't like insanely above average or anything, you know, my hand-eye coordination, whatever. Like, yeah, I'm good, but that's mostly practice, in my opinion. For me, it's just, I think it's my mindset, and I think I was just always like that from the beginning.
How much time are you putting in to these training sessions, like, on average? What do you think?
I would say if we're like leading up to a tournament, you know, we have team practice 6 to 8 hours a day, and then I'm playing like 2 hours before practice and 2-3 hours after, so probably around like
15 hours here. What are we
yeah,
like,
up, that's up a whole there. Day. Like, I mean, I'm doing it all day, and like, I actually, to the point where I struggle finding time to even like eat or do, you know, anything like, you know, that I actually really need to do.
That's the other thing, because I mean, when you come to, you know, football and you know, basketball and stuff like that, the diet of these athletes as well plays yeah. into how they actually, you know, play. So there's got to be some type of diet, right, for these esports athletes? I don't know what you call them.
I mean, there definitely should be, but what right now it's kind of in the – like a lot of orgs right now actually – well, I wouldn't say a lot, but a few have definitely looked into getting like a nutritionist and having people on good diets because it's definitely a big deal. A lot of people in this field kind of get lazy, like, and it's kind of understandable. Like there's not enough hours in the day to really just, you know, do everything yourself, like even like mundane things like cook or whatever. So people will just order takeout or like just have like really bad diets, just anything that's convenient, and that's contributing a lot to how draining it is to be a pro gamer. Like you're already doing like 15 hours a day and you're kind of hurting yourself by just not having like a good diet and a good, you know, like condition for yourself.
So diet, practicing hard. That's the foundation, basically. That's what we're looking at?
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, like, those kind of, like, the practicing hard thing, it just comes in with the mindset that I was talking about. Like, it's not, like, what one comes after the other. Like, if you have the mindset, it's just going to happen. You're going to want to practice hard. If you're going to have to convince yourself to practice hard, it's not going to happen. Like, because your mind isn't really going to be in it. Like, your heart isn't going to be in it. If I'm someone that's forcing myself to practice 12 plus hours a day, like I have to really convince myself the 12 hours I spend practicing isn't even going to be very efficient because the whole time I'm going to be miserable. But if you actually really want it that bad, you're not going to be thinking about anything other than getting better and having like a, you know, self-improvement and everything like that. So you're just going to be, you know, spending that time efficiently.
All right, let's get into the games. You were a Team Fortress 2 player professionally, yeah. Correct? What made you switch to the Overwatch?
Well, actually, I didn't really make a switch. I had quit TF2 for about a year and a half, and I was kind of done with gaming. Like, there was no future in it for me in TF2. Well, I wouldn't say I was done with gaming. I was done with, like, competitive gaming. Hmm. Like, there was really no, you know, like, my skill set was very unique in terms of... Like TF2, you know, there's a lot of FPS mechanics in it and everything and like teamwork mechanics, and you can kind of apply that to a lot of different games, but at the same time it was still pretty unique and different, and like the only big team game out there for FPS was Counter-Strike, and it was definitely a totally different type of game, and I felt like I gave it a shot for a little bit and I got pretty good, but like I was talking about earlier, like I was kind of forcing myself to do it. And I kind of realized like I'm not going to be pro in this game if I'm just forcing myself. Like I have to actually really love it and really like be driven to do it. So I kind of took a step back from gaming, like competitive gaming. Hmm. And
what was the alternative? Like if you were
school
not,
work
school?
Like
okay.
I mean I you know, maybe in the future, like my mindset was like maybe in the future being in esports in some capacity, like not as a competitor, but okay. At the end of the day I still, you know, my esports was definitely my passion, but I just didn't see a way to force myself to play the current, like I was never going to be a Dota or a League of Legends pro, and the most realistic was CS, but I still had to just really force myself. But then, you know, after like a year or so of not competing, Overwatch came out, and it was just like right off the bat. I mean, it wasn't even out, it was in beta, but just seeing previews of it, understanding the concept of the game, and knowing that it was Blizzard behind it, I was just positive that it was going to be a pretty decent sized esport. Not, I actually didn't imagine it'd be as big as it is right now, or the trajectory it's going into is even bigger too.
Yeah,
so
crazy.
I actually had no idea. I thought it would be like, you know, a DreamHack or an ESL will run a tournament, maybe even MLG, and I could do that for a few years and be like super content and like fulfilled with whatever you want to call that as an esports career. Like I could have, you know, done that for a couple of years and said like, wow, you know, I competed in some of the tournaments that I used to watch, like and that would have been really fulfilling. But then, you know, I get into it and there's just like, now there's like salaries, like even now it hasn't even been a year and there's salaries I didn't even imagine that were ever going to happen for this game. There's prize pools that it hit $2 million in prize pool like a few weeks ago or a couple weeks ago, and the trajectory is like only going up and up. So it's definitely been wild to see how great it turned out for a lot of people like me.
So, I'm on, you know, the energy payroll and stuff, so I'm in the org and stuff, but I don't know the story of how you ended up with energy and that whole story. What was the, how did it all come together? How did that team all originally form?
So they had five of the players were on Luminosity Gaming, and they were figuring out a way to transfer to a different org, or their I don't really know the whole story on their end of it. Either their contracts were ending, or they were just trying to transfer for whatever reason. I don't know, but regardless, they were switching to NRG, and they only had a 5-man lineup. They were trying out supports, and one of them was Indust, and he didn't really work out. So they were looking for a new player. And at the same time, I was actually on my way out of Liquid. I was trying to either get a trade out of Liquid or leave the team, which was kind of weird. I was team captain of Liquid, so it was kind of a weird situation. But
wait, you were team captain and you were looking to leave?
Yeah. So
what was that for?
Toxic environment. What was up?
I mean, like, it's been so long, and it, you know, I don't have any grudges, so I don't really mind saying what happened. But it is kind of, you know, it is kind of awkward. I don't want to like feel like I want to throw anyone under the bus. But I mean, just the gist of it was. The gist of it is basically I made this team. We got signed by Liquid, but in the process of signing with Liquid, one of the players wanted to make some changes, and we kind of conflicted a lot. And if I didn't, if I didn't accept the changes, like, he wanted to cut a player, and if I didn't cut that player, he didn't want to sign with Liquid. So wow. He ended up not signing with Liquid, and we went our separate ways, and I played with Liquid for a couple months, and then after one tournament, two of our players left to go make Fnatic. So we were looking for two new players, and we actually ended up what made the most sense was that initial player that didn't sign, right? So we bring him back, and he's on trial with us, and like he's kind of trying us out at the same time as we're trying him out for Liquid. And I kind of take a step back, and I'm like, well, we conflicted a lot, and I'm team captain, but if you join, just so you can join, I'll be willing to take a step back, and you can lead the team and whatever, and everything is like, you know, it's like, as long as we have six, I'm happy. So that happens. He joins, but I don't know, at the end of the day, like, even with his ideas or whatever versus my ideas, like, we just always conflicted anyway. I mean, there's a lot more to it than that, but it was just never going to be a different situation, whether it's me, team captain, or him. So
the chemistry was just off, right?
That's, yeah. That's basically the gist of it. And on paper, it made the most sense to get him, but like, as teammates, we just weren't working out. And we actually had some of the best results we ever had, though, which was the weirdest thing. But yeah, it didn't work out. I told Liquid, hey, can I actually, you know, get out of my contract, like, can I go to a different team? And they actually were really open to doing that, especially because they knew, like, I'm sure he was actually complaining about me too, so they knew there was a big conflict there. So we're trying to figure that out. They said, well, in the meantime, you can message people, see if you, you know, can get on a team. And I actually had a lot of, and like, some of my offers were like teams that won major tournaments, but you know, I knew Enigma and Siegel from TF2, and I just had a lot of respect for them, and I played with them before, so I just felt like it made the most sense to go with and on top of that, actually, like, and I'm not even just like selling out for the org that sponsors me, but like, what they told me about NRG, like, legit, I was just like, you know, they said NRG really wants to focus on Overwatch, and something that really didn't sit well with me with a lot of orgs in Overwatch was that Overwatch was just like a game they're throwing money in to, but didn't really care a whole lot about, which is like, to be fair, like, okay, they have like a lot of games, like all these big sponsors, so they can't really focus on Overwatch, but knowing that NRG was going to focus on Overwatch really sold me on NRG for sure. And that plus obviously Enigma and Siegel, like having a lot of respect for those guys.
So you kind of you brought up Brandon Siegel. Like he's a superstar in the Overwatch world. He was voted Captain America, and all that. His stream numbers are through the roof. You know, what's it like being on a team with the guy who's so widely popular in the org? I mean, it's kind of I could speak from the NRG's perspective. I mean, he's definitely boosts the popularity of us on like social media. We're you guys are essentially like America's team. But when it comes to like practices and all that kind of stuff, what's it like working with the guy?
I mean, just to put into perspective, I've played on teams with him since like I played on a team with him in like 2009 for TF2. Like I've played, there's a reason I've still been, you know, trying or playing on teams with him. It's just that, like, he has a really great work ethic. He has the right mindset. Like I actually can either get along really well with someone, or like it's two like opposite extremes. I can either get along with someone really well or it's just gonna crash and burn. And Brandon's one of the guys that I can get along really well with because he just has, I feel like, has the very same mindset as me, and like anything that it takes to win. That sounds super cliche, but I don't think a lot of people really mean it when they say that, or you know what I mean? Like I'm willing to do literally whatever it takes, you know, within reason to win. Like, obviously not cheating. Like, I realize that kind of.
That's not where my mind went. My mind went like into the gutter. I was like, oh, you'll do anything, huh?
So I would literally do anything.
I mean, within okay. the game.
I just thought he was just going to be the best player he could be.
Do you think the mindset changes, though? I mean, you've played in two different games with this guy. So have you seen like any type of change at all? Is it just the same type of chemistry?
Especially with the blow up.
If anything, it made me respect someone more to see that mindset in TF2, because there was nothing to gain except for winning. Like, what are we gonna win? We're not gonna win like tons of fans and money or anything. Like, it's literally we just wanted to win
for the women,
for the poon.
Yeah.
Oh, I promise you, there was like zero of that in that game as
no
well.
No e-girls in TF2, huh?
Well, there I guess there was.
He's like, oh, there was Betty. And Betty was
no. I just mean in the pro scene though. I don't know. It's not like in esports. Like, there's girls that play TF2, but since TF2 isn't a super big esport or anything, like, they couldn't give like less of a shit really if you were like an invite player, honestly. Like, that's not what it was about. Like, when you're competing at the highest level in TF2, it's literally, it couldn't be anything other than you just wanted to win. Like, there's no real prestige or anything. Like, there's no fame or anything. Like you just have to be a really competitive player. And if you're doing like this, like Brandon in TF2, I still remember like leading up to events, like ESEA LAN was like our only real event, but like the guy pulled like, you know, the days that I'm describing for us right now, like the 15-hour days, that's what Brandon did for TF2 when like leading up to events. Like, the guy really grinded and he really took it seriously. And if he does that for a game like that, or like if I see anyone do that in a small game, like, I just have a ton of respect for them, because I know that their drive to win is, I mean, they just have that drive to win that I have.
Hey, he's legit one of the nicest dudes I think I've ever met, like, in any industry. Like, he had like a 45-minute conversation with a dude serving food at a buffet about Overwatch.
Yeah, yeah. I remember that. Yeah,
it was just ridiculous. Like, everyone else probably would have, you know, wanted to get to their food, because that was, again, was a long ass day. You know, I think that was the day you guys did come out on top, so you know, spirits were up. But still, to spend 45 minutes talking to the line cook about, you know, support meta after you just got out of what's an super exhausting situation just kind of is a testament to what that dude is like. But I wanted to talk to you a little bit about the new patch, because I haven't gotten your full take on it so far. So there was a new patch, Overwatch, obviously. A lot of people were super pissed off about that tank meta. I mean, and that, for people who don't fully understand, why were the pros so upset with that meta?
It just didn't seem like, I mean, as a pro, you kind of have to accept every meta, but, you can't always, you know, have the best conditions ever. Like, at some point, something you don't like is going to be in the meta, right? But this was a little extreme. The dynamic of the game was just really one-dimensional, and not only boring to watch, but boring to play, and not only frustrating to play, but frustrating to watch. It was just, like, it really limited the skill ceiling of a lot of teams. Like, I think a lot of this, this sounds like a, like, super, like, I hate to roast a lot of the teams roast that did them. Well in the tank meta, but there's going to be a lot of teams that just aren't going to be relevant anymore. Like, it just, this is the one meta that, that,
let's name some names here, man. Let's name some names. Who we got? That's cool, man. I mean, nobody's listening but us.
Just us chickens.
Just us chickens. No, but so the patch came out. They kind of nerfed some Ana heals and did some. I think D.Va got a little bit of a nerf too. So what specifically in the patch affected the meta, and what have you noticed change wise? In your scrims, is it like back to some of the old things, like the 2-2-2?
For a little bit, yeah. But honestly, tank meta is still pretty strong. Like, you're not going to see four tanks, but we've been running like a triple tank soldier that's worked really well for us in practice, and it's just like better in the sense that I don't know. It does seem better. It does seem like it's moving in the right direction, but at the end of the day, like it's definitely not going to be what people expected, where you could like triple DPS dive comp. Like, the first few days people were running that, and I feel like that's just not really a thing right now. Nerfing Ana's heal grenade definitely helped a lot with the like tank meta, but it didn't really help a lot with the Ana, like how overpowered Ana is. Like, at the end of the day, Ana can still like a good Ana that can sleep dart someone ulting literally just takes like wins a team fight for you, or an offensive nade wins a team fight for you. And just Ana's healing in general is still really strong. So Ana's still by far the best healer, best support right now. I definitely hope that it's still viable in the future, but they definitely need to work on tuning Ana. Roadhog is still completely viable. The hook changes just, like, the hook changes made it less frustrating, like a few things less frustrating, but the hero itself is still really, really strong, and there's not really a lot of answers to it right now. And one of the answers they're looking at actually is kind of absurd. They're What's buffing that? The D.Va matrix so that you can matrix when someone gets hooked, and that person won't get one shot.
Oh.
But that's absolutely, like, so stupid, because now you will literally, as Azaria, never ever get a Graviton off, because D.Va's just going to matrix it every single time. Like, you're just literally, like, they just made Zarya absolutely useless, because one, Zarya was one of the main counters to Roadhog. Like, not counters, but, like, you know, you barrier someone that gets hooked, you save them, and, like, it's a really good utility for Zarya to in the Roadhog meta. Now, like, D.Va's the one that saves people getting hooked, and then now also Zarya can't ult. So I don't really know what they're thinking going there. Maybe they'll do something else.
As a professional, what do you think they should do? Like, the only thing I can think of is, like, maybe adding a...
Remove Roadhog from the game.
Yeah. No, we do this thing called Wednesday Wisdom on Energy Twitter. And, you know, it's completely open forum. You know, people could be funny. They could be serious. They could get philosophical, whatever. But I think Tim's was one of my favorites of all time, when he was like, you know, play video games, you got to practice, get hard, not get
wow.
hard.
Wow.
He did not say
Jeez.
That.
All right.
That was me. That was
quoted
100% me.
Today, 2017.
That was me after I heard the quote. I got so hard because it was so good.
Terrible.
But it was like, put in the hours, practice, you know, and you'll achieve your dreams, or just play Roadhog because he's so fucking broken.
Well, I mean, what if they added a delay to his hook?
A delay?
Yeah, like he has to crank back or something and then throw it.
Well,
like,
I don't think that.
Making it more readable. You know what I'm saying?
The difficulty of the hook isn't the issue, though, because at the end of the day, a pro player is going to get good at hooking. Like, if it's really, really hard to land a hook.
Let's clip that out right now.
That's Wednesday Wisdom for next week.
A pro player is going to be a really good hooker.
Yeah.
Man, you guys need to grow up.
Jesus. Never.
And from this guy, that's saying something, too. Because
no, but, like, the mechanic of it, like, people are going to get good at it. Like, the issue is the frequency he can use the skill and how impactful it is. So, like, every 6 seconds you can use it, and if you're good with it, you literally win the team fight every 6 seconds. So it's just way too impactful for how low cooldown it is. There needs to be more punishment for missing a hook, maybe. Like, maybe if you miss a hook, the cooldown is larger, or I don't know. But basically, right now, they're looking at ways to nerf it by you know, having teammates being able to save you from it better, but then that just makes it so like a lot more stale, because like let's say you make D.Va the D.Va buff doesn't even ruin Zarya. Let's just say it just helps for Roadhog hooks. Well, now you're just making D.Va like 100% necessary all the time, or you're making Roadhog useless. Like either way, your balance change is just too extreme. It's making something useless or something a must have. Like I think that's too binary. Like you definitely need to look at it in a much, a much more well thought out way. And I don't know. Like that seems a little insulting. Like obviously Blizzard, like it's going to be hard to balance like a game with this many heroes. But it's definitely, I don't think it's the right direction to go. Like you're just going to make D.Va overpowered again, or like not even necessarily overpowered, but a must have. And maybe you even just make Zarya and Roadhog useless in the process.
Indeed. You got any more? Any questions in chat for him?
We did have another good question, chat. You got one, Whip?
Yeah.
We got somebody in chat. They want to know what is your favorite game mode and map.
I would say hybrid is probably my favorite. And I don't know. I would say maybe Hollywood. I think Hollywood is probably my favorite map.
It's a fun map.
Do the pros ever go in the arcade and just dick around like the rest of us, like in that new Capture the Rooster match or the 3v3s and stuff? Like, do you spend any time in there whatsoever?
I personally don't, but definitely a lot of people do. Like, a lot of people, I don't know, they do it just, you know, for fun or like to farm loot boxes. Well, I mean, pretty much mostly just to farm loot boxes, but sometimes, honestly, some of those arcade game modes are really fun. Like I forgot what it was called, but the Pharah Mercy only one was really fun. Like I actually played that one a lot.
We played that last night.
A couple of times.
Times last night, and
it depends on what the level is.
It depends on the level. What was it? Oasis. We were getting frustrated with Oasis.
No, it was Lijiang Tower or whatever.
Oh, that was the
because
one.
Because you can't really to try to capture in the middle of that tower, and you can't really fly around. Yeah. You know, it's just, I don't know, it's not that good. Oasis would be fun. Yeah, Oasis would definitely be fun.
Someone wants to know, does NRG Overwatch have like a rival team? Is there a team out
earlier
there?
On, it was probably C9. But now the C9 roster and the NRG roster are so different that like that's not really a thing, I don't think, anymore.
But shouldn't it be like brands? I mean, when you come to, you know, the other sports, it doesn't matter who's on the roster. It's always going to be, you know, you got the LA Sacramento type of thing going on, right?
Doesn't matter. Long after Kobe and Shaq are on it,
there's still going to be that rivalry, you know?
I feel like that's all really different, like, context though. It's not really like first of all, Overwatch is a new game. NRG is actually a new brand as well, and I just think the only thing that really developed a rivalry was just the person, like the people on each team. So
that makes sense.
When it's something like mainstream sports and it's existed for decades, it can definitely, and like, you know, you have lifelong fans, it can definitely develop into like, you know, lifelong rivalries. But I don't think that's really the same for this game right now. Obviously in a few years, a few seasons of the Overwatch League, and like maybe two teams keep meeting up in the finals, or one team keeps knocking out a team in like playoffs or something like that, like that's how you could develop a rivalry that will last no matter what the roster. But right now it's way too early for something like that.
Where do you see the esports going then? I mean, do you see it hitting in the direction of those mainstream sports?
I mean, definitely like super, super long term, I feel like it would be bigger, honestly.
What's super long term to you? What are we talking, 20 years?
I'm talking decades. I mean, I couldn't put really a number on it, but yeah, like in talking decades. But yeah, I just feel like it could be just bigger. Like it encompasses a bigger demographic. Like an athlete will game as well as someone, you know, that has nothing to do with traditional sports. Like the demographic is much bigger. Families will game together probably more frequently than they play sports. Like, I don't know. You know, obviously, I don't know if that's a good or bad thing, but I feel like the gamers now are going to, you know, have it as a culture within their families in decades from now. And it's just going to be a lot more commonplace and a lot more accepted mainstream wise. And because, like I said, like the demographic is way bigger, I just think it's going to be bigger than mainstream sports for sure.
So look into the future. Eventually. I know we can't talk about anything, new roster or anything, obviously, but you know, you're obviously in scrims and getting ready for the next season. How are you feeling leading up to it? Are you feeling pretty confident?
It depends on the lineup that we're trying for the day, but some of the lineups we've had have been really, like, just amazing, like, just better than any lineup I've ever been on. So I think moving forward, it's going to be really good. Obviously, that's so vague, and like you said, I can't really say anything, but I don't know. I think we're going to be definitely a team to look out for, and I think we're going to be contenders. It's so early to say that, but I'm pretty confident.
I know. I think before the show, you mentioned you hadn't watched the winter premiere today, but Immortals ended up taking the victory. You know, what do you think of that lineup? Do you know the players on that team, or you just
I'm not like super good friends with most of them, or like any of them really, but I've talked to Grim a little bit. Like I get along with Grim pretty well, actually. I think he's a really cool guy, and his like play has improved over the months so much. Like he's like superstar status, I feel like, and he's doing really well, so I'm happy for the guy. They all seem like good people. Like I actually really like all those guys. Like that, you know, some teams like you can't say that much for, but for Immortals, like they're just like a lot of younger kids, and usually, you know, you see people like that, and they're pretty hard to deal with. Like they're like socially like not there yet. Like they're like pretty unacceptable, but like on Immortals, like they're really mature for their age, I think. Well, agility isn't Grim. Like they don't have like the ego that you would expect. And honestly, it would be kind of justified to have that ego, especially at that age. Like it just kind of happens when you're put into the spotlight like that at that young, and you're doing so well, and there's so many people that look up to you already. It's easy to have an ego. Like I would absolutely have an ego at that age, but Grim and Agilities, they just don't. They seem like they don't even really think they're pro gamers or anything. They're just playing the game. I don't know.
I noticed one of their players was rocking some Yeezys, and I know that you also are a fan of the Yeezys. was he doing them justice?
Oh, for sure. No, Hype's a cool guy. I haven't really talked to him that much, but I've had a few conversations with him at like I think a BlizzCon and like other events, and he's a really cool guy. I didn't know that he was like into like sneakers like that though before. I don't even like really remember him, you know. Like usually with like Rockus or like Zoms or like other pro gamers, like I've always noticed like, oh, they're like, you know, wearing like Jordans or like, you know, NMDs or something like that. Like I don't ever remember Hype wearing any sneakers that I remembered, and then randomly he just has Yeezys. I was like, all right, that's pretty sick. But no, I mean, that's cool though. And he has the Oreos too. Those are sick.
Now, Aaron here, I don't think he's ever bought in shoes that weren't New Balance. So he's on the complete opposite side.
No, that's currently wearing
Champions from Target.
I'm currently wearing some freaking Chuck Taylors on my feet right now.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So you went and got some
Chuck Taylors.
Some shoes from the 50s.
$130,
my ass.
Yeah.
No, they are.
They were?
So you have to be pretty dedicated to the sneakerhead culture to be buying these Yeezys, because A, Kanye's a lunatic. B, these shoes are fucking crazy expensive. But are they just that dope for you? You got to get them, or what's the mindset?
Yeah, man. Like another thing too. This isn't even the reason I got them. It's just a bonus. But like Prime Knit shoes are so like with Boost are just so comfortable. Like I realized like all of my shoes are really expensive, and just like I was like, man, I'm wearing these every day. I'm just ruining them for like everyday stuff. So I want to get some beaters. Like I just got like some Vans skate highs the other day, just so I could just wear those for like everyday things. And I put them on and I'm like, holy fuck, like this is so uncomfortable. Like I actually want to die. Like this shit is so, like, I can't believe I wore shoes like this before. That sounds so pretentious, but I don't care. Like, it's actually legit.
I don't even care.
No,
I don't
care. It's like, fine, dude.
Like, it's legit, dude. Like, if you wear Yeezys or, like, NMDs, Ultra Boosts, whatever, like, it's so comfortable. Like, you literally, like, I don't know. I can't describe it. But with that said, like, that's not even why I got them. Like, obviously, I just think they're really dope, and, like, I just like the whole style. Like, some people think that it's just, like, the hype around, like, Yeezys. Like, people just buy them because it's Kanye, and people definitely do, but I just actually, like, I don't care who makes it. Like, I actually like how it looks a lot, and I like, you know, like, the whole style and everything. I don't know, and I'm probably about to waste a ton of money on a pair of Belugas, so...
See, this is where now we got to get into a more intense topic. And this one's a little more serious, so I hope you're ready. You used to live close to us here in Sacramento, which is the best city in the Civil Union. And you recently moved to Southern California, L.A. area, which makes you a big fat traitor, first of all. But I want to know if you're miserable yet and when you're coming back.
Definitely no plans to come back. And I actually didn't even live in Sacramento. I lived in the actual, like, NorCal, the Bay Area.
Hold on, right
shots,
now.
Shots fired.
First of all, Second of all, just geography speaking, that's wrong.
Yeah.
Wait, is it what?
Yeah, no, Sacramento, capital.
It's above the Bay Area.
Is Northern California, sir. The Bay Area, that off to the left.
No, side. I don't care geographically. Like, that's NorCal, man. Bay Area is NorCal. That's what people think of. No one's going to go, like, on vacation to Sacramento. No one's like, I'm going to go to NorCal to Sacramento.
When Tupac and Dre made it official, sir, then you knew it was official. I didn't hear them slanging out San Francisco, you know.
Oh, you're talking about California love?
Oh, yeah. You definitely.
That's the official. That's where you get your facts.
Oh, yeah. Your hands down. They are the representatives. They're on the legislature.
That's how I learned geography.
Exactly.
Well, but you weren't necessarily Sacramento. You were basically Sacramento. If people in Vallejo try and say that,
yeah,
from
I was actually.
San Francisco,
by the way, yeah, I was closer to Sacramento than San Francisco.
Yeah, you
honestly.
Were.
It was probably equal. It was like probably like literally like the same distance each way. But I wasn't from Vallejo. I lived there for like a few like 7 months. I'm from like East Bay. Like I'm from Walnut Creek, which is like I don't know like 30 minutes from San Francisco. Like it's right there. It's across the. Like, I'm not from
But even
Vallejo.
That, the Bay Area is a beautiful...
In fact, I hate Vallejo, by the way. Actually, I'm going to get some hate from anyone.
From all 12 people in Vallejo that have the internet?
We have a big Vallejo fan.
Like my family, if they like watch this, and they're like, what the? Like, that's fucked up. nah, but I mean, I just felt like I was in the middle of nowhere. Like, that's one of the main reasons I wanted out of there.
You went the wrong direction, sir. In Sacramento, do you know what we call Vallejo?
I have no idea, dude.
Six
I don't
flags.
Care about either city.
That's what we call it. We call it Six Flags because that's all it had.
He's fully been transformed into a SoCal person. You can hear that in his voice.
We're gonna get him back, damn it.
It's
we
one
need
of those,
this guy back. This is one of the good ones, Aaron.
I don't care about NorCal anymore. That's what that is.
Oh, I didn't say that. I said
all right, man. We understand.
Vallejo or Sacramento.
Okay. I mean, literally the city that we're in right now. You just said you don't care about.
Yeah, I hate it.
See what I mean?
Doesn't even care.
See what I mean? You know, I'm moving right along, everybody.
No, well how is LA for you? I'm genuinely curious. How are you doing in LA? Are you really liking the move?
I probably should have stayed in Vallejo. I've wasted so much money.
Is it just the
I've
cost
wasted
of living?
So much. I'm not really, but like, so in LA, you should probably have a car. I don't have a car. I Uber everywhere. I spend like hundreds of dollars on Ubers, like going like, and people like a lot of people I know are in Orange County, actually, not even LA. So like, if I go out to Orange County, I'm spending like $160 for round trip Ubers. I'm a fucking idiot.
Yeah, but gas in LA is like 20 bucks a gallon. So either way, you'd be spending the same amount.
It's actually not that bad. It was like, I think the gas station right by me was like $280 or something.
So safe Good to Lord. Say when you guys hit that $2 million prize pool, the first trip is to go
Sacramento.
Buy a new car.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I should probably just get one ASAP, but I don't know.
I mean, you live in California. You got to have a car. Like, that Uber thing may work around the Bay Area, San Francisco and stuff like that. But I mean, you're draining money out there. You got to be.
Well, he just bought a new skateboard,
it's so
though.
Bad.
Oh, well, there you
yeah,
go.
Yeah, I'll just I'll skateboard
everywhere.
County.
Yeah.
Skateboard to Orange County.
It's like 60 miles away. I'll skate there.
See you in a week.
Pretty sure the freeway is pretty friendly for skateboarders.
Yeah, the 101, absolutely.
Yeah, exactly. There's so much traffic there.
There's
you can
a
be
skateboard
grinding
lane.
Off of everybody's car.
Someone in chat wanted us to know that Los Angeles is a floating turd and that San Diego is God.
Good Lord.
There we go.
Good Lord.
San Diego's pretty dope, though. I do really like San Diego.
They will be the first to fall in the Mexican War.
What?
Holy crap. San Diego,
bold prediction.
Calling it now, everybody. I told you it was a political show. you're going to stick around with us for the whole thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I hoped for, too. Because we got some hotness coming at you people.
Although I honestly don't know, like, how much I can contribute to some of the topics, but
before we go on to this, one last
all
thing
I know is gaming, man. All I know.
Oh no,
is,
it's all about gaming.
We're gonna
stick
with gaming, but like
I mean Overwatch, but
okay, that's more specific because like with that much time put into Overwatch, do you play other games?
Absolutely not. Like just not even a little bit.
Would you do you if you weren't playing Overwatch and you decided to step away from esports like you did before and you never came back? Say Overwatch didn't come out, would you be a gamer?
Yeah, no, definitely. I'd play, like, every game, though. I would put, like, zero time. Like, unless I knew I could really compete at something else, I would just play it really casually, and I wouldn't dedicate a whole lot of time to just one game. I'd just probably try everything and just, like, I mean, I still love games, but if I ever have the time to play a game, you know, my thought process is, well, I could just be playing Overwatch.
So basically,
like, if
when
I
you
have,
retire.
Like, what was that?
So basically, when you retire is what I'm hearing, right?
You'll still be a gamer.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, no, I mean so he can go to the other stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, that's cool. I mean, I just assume, like, when you're gaming, like, for him, like, it's not just, like, fun and games all the time. Like, it's kind of a job. Like, the dude does it so much, and there's a lot of expectation and pressure and Reddit on his shoulders. And so my question was, like, so would you even still play games? Did the whole industry burn you out? But that's cool to see that you still have a passion for the art itself. So that's really cool. So go ahead, Aaron. The ship is yours.
Good Lord. Good Lord.
We've set the groundwork. Take us to Neverland.
Let's do some banging around the web.
Banging around the web!
I didn't hear you on that, dummy.
He's
like, all I know is Overwatch, bro.
We couldn't have paid him enough. No, there's no amount of money. There's not a color pair of Yeezys that would have got him to do that.
Maybe.
Oh, no, there's definitely a color.
Yeah.
Whoa. Yeah, let's not get carried away here.
Now you're not talking. Insane. Esports, we're on that hype right now. So apparently there's some people in the esports world, more specifically the Smash Brothers esports world, that are a little upset about a certain level that's being used in the competitive scene. And they want it banned. They want it straight up out. So top Smash Brothers players are saying the Duck Hunt stage needs to be removed from all the events. Do you know why you play this, Web? You play the old...
I play
Smash
Smash 4. From time to time.
You smash from time to time? Okay.
It's not what his wife says.
Grow up.
Wow.
Grow up.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Low-hanging fruit, sir. Low-hanging fruit. No, why... I mean, I like Corey's guess because the green characters blend in with the grass.
Yeah, no, that's not the
Well, no, that's legit. When I watch the tournaments, which I do, I have to watch these tournaments... what's very common is people pick that map and then they pick the green hue of characters so that they blend into the background.
See, that's funny because when I played Halo, I would custom color my my Master Chief to be brown so I'd hide in the on the
thicket.
Clips in the thicket.
Well, even with Overwatch,
I mean, it makes sense.
I got the Reaper skin where he's like in the white mariachi costume.
Because
yeah,
it looks like a Ku Klux Klan member, right?
Well, I refuse to wear that one around because I feel like the white makes him stick out more.
Oh,
and get easier for and that's why I don't use the Halloween one because it's a giant orange dot, like it's a bullseye.
Yeah. It's like having aim assist on.
Is that a thing, dummy? Like for competitive Overwatch, or the skins? Do they really matter?
I mean, they do, but like the skins are banned in competitive. Like when you play a tournament, you can't wear skins. So
it's
definitely
wear the standard.
Is it? What's the reasoning behind that?
Standard gray.
Well, just like even playing field.
Okay.
Like the, you know, obviously, you know, the each skin is different. Like it's just different. So like obviously they just want to have the even playing field so that there's no debate, I guess, or like no, you know, there's no issues there.
So people can't say, oh,
yeah,
it was my skin.
Exactly.
My pumpkin head is what made me get shot in the head.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Yeah, and I mean, actually, like, that's just like a little part of it. Actually, now that I think about it, most of it is probably mostly that they just want like viewers, especially new viewers, to not get confused. Like they want to know what Reaper looks like, and like they don't want to be like new viewers or anyone to be confused by like the pumpkin Reaper. And it's like, wait, what hero is that? I thought Reaper looked like something. You know what I mean? Like that's probably mostly what it is.
That makes that makes a lot of sense.
It definitely does even the playing field more, and I think that that definitely helps the the case for it. But it's probably mostly like a viewing thing, honestly.
Well, the level seems innocent enough, but it's widely, and it's already widely legal in all the tournaments, of course. But players are complaining that the best strategy to beat someone on the Duck Hunt stage is a boring one. Players simply just camp at the tree, waiting for their enemy to approach, because it's safe, you know? But that doesn't make for, of course, an entertaining game in this fast-paced game that it is.
Well, that's like in regular sports, that happens all the time. It's like in basketball, they have a shot clock because they don't want just the guy dribbling at half court for forever, you know, stalling out the game and things like that. Speaking of Duck Hunt, though, did you see what happened a couple weeks ago at the G4 Genesis tournament for Smash?
I saw it because it was kind of like tied in with this
Yeah, it's also
well.
Duck Hunt related.
Yeah.
So you know who Zero is, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Zero Gonzalez.
He's actually one of the people that is against the Duck Hunt
of
level.
Of course he is.
Being on
of course
here.
He
yeah.
Now he is, of course. So Zero is this, he was like a god of Smash. Like he went like legit 70 tournaments undefeated. Like he's God's gift to Smash 4, essentially. And he was picked to win this tournament, of course, and he ended up getting upset in the winner's bracket super early on by a dude who just picked an off-the-wall Duck Hunt character. I've never seen anyone choose Duck Hunt in any of the tournaments I've watched. This guy did it and beat the best in the world, essentially, with this trolley pick character, sent him to loser's brackets, and the internet exploded, like, in that community.
There's gifts all around of the final, like, smash, I guess, that happened to have him win that, you know, thing. And they were playing that, actually, on this article that I was reading with this one. Did he complain about any of the things? Because they're also saying if you're on the left side, the person with the most recovery is, you know, probably the one to win with this Duck Hunt stage. Because it was on the Duck Hunt stage, right?
I don't recall.
I don't recall.
So. I don't remember.
I just know he used a dog and that bird.
But I don't know how I feel about that in general. Like, I guess if the players definitely have a voice, especially in Smash, since it's all community run anyways. It's not like Nintendo's in there regulating too much. So
yeah.
They could do whatever the fuck they wanted. But in esports in general, to just making rules to make things more entertaining, I don't know how that... that fits, because like if I could win a tournament legit on Duck Hunt but it's going to be boring, is that what's, you know, is that right?
I don't know.
What if I could beat anybody in the world on Duck Hunt but it got banned because people don't think it's fun to watch?
I mean you want to, just like, you know, Dummy said, you want to have a fair and balanced playing field, if anything. So
also, I mean, if you can beat anyone on the world on Duck Hunt only, but you can't even come close to competing on anything else, like, I feel like that means there's an inherent problem with that map. Like, that just means there's something, I don't know. I mean, that's not necessarily, but, like, obviously, I don't know. Like, your gameplay isn't well-rounded enough to compete in other modes, then maybe it's disappointing that you can't compete in the only mode you can, but it's like, I don't know. Like,
basically, you
get
suck.
Better.
You're saying
get better.
Yeah. Get good. Like,
get good.
Yeah.
You know how many times I've heard that in chat and Overwatch?
Yeah, it's becoming very much spam every time I see that.
Dummy, is there any like maps in Overwatch that just kind of overall the community is just kind of blah about that? It's just kind of
popular?
Yeah,
every map. Like, and every map has some sort of drama about it. Well. 2CP and King of the Hill, both, and those are like two major, you know, like that's like seven maps right there.
And
so
what's the issue with it?
2CP, the issue with that is more of like the stalling mechanic, where you can just on the last point go like Mei, Tracer, D.Va, and just like if the attacking team wins a team fight, it could take 4 minutes to finally get a clean enough wipe, even though it's like a 4 minute long team fight that never ends and they're winning the whole time to cap the point. Like, we've had like our coach watches us scrim, and one time we had a scrim where we had 26 unanswered kills on Hanamura last. Like, we literally killed 26 people. They didn't kill one person before we capped. Like, if you kill people, if you kill them 26 times in a row unanswered, like, I feel like you deserve the cap at that point. But because of the stalling mechanics, the closeness of the spawns, and, like, there's no like, the spawn times are so short, you can stall for way too long. Like, otherwise, the map's actually pretty solid. Like, I actually don't mind those maps at all. People give them unnecessary hate, but the stalling mechanics are definitely kind of broken, and they haven't really been addressed. So yeah, I mean, there's definitely a lot of stuff like that in Overwatch. It's still a new game, so we'll see where they go with it.
I watched that like 14 minute video from one of the Blizzard reps talking about the PTR. I found it fascinating. This is nothing new with Blizzard. We've always known, you know, with all their games, they're pretty like they hold a high opinion of themselves. They really kind of march to their own drummer, and it was hilarious watching this guy talk about the PTR. And he's like, yeah, we put out the public test region, and he explained what it was. And he's like, we really didn't put it out there for you guys to have opinions. It's more for you guys just to test things. So
I saw that.
No, that's stupid.
It was
a little cocky.
I want you to watch this, Aaron, because he kind of talks down. He's kind of talking down to you, but you still kind of like him because he just made like your favorite game.
I mean, it's kind of a weird thing they've had so many questionable things like that, because that in itself just doesn't make sense to me. It's not like anyone even divided it like PTR is for us to criticize. It's like the game is going to be criticized. Whether it's PTR or it's release, like, these changes are going to be criticized. It's like he's like trying to protect himself from like as much of like the criticism as possible. Like, oh, PTR, you're not allowed to, like, you're not allowed, but like it's not for you guys to criticize. But what does that matter? Like, it doesn't have to have that purpose. It's literally you're changing the game, and whether it's when we see it on release or whether we see it on PTR, like, people are going to criticize it. Like, that's just how it is.
100%.
Next story on the docket, we have Square Enix just set up a deal with Marvel to make a couple of video games for them. Did you see the little trailer on this one, Corey?
I don't think I did.
It's like 20 seconds long, if anything like that. Just some voiceovers and some beat up, you know, equipment from the Avengers, shield, a hammer, some, you know, the
camera pans across it, and everyone's like, "Oh my god!"
Yeah, and then then it apparently gets a little uproar, a little you know, aroused, if you would, you know.
Nice choice of words.
But literally, there's no information on this stuff.
Well, what do we know from Squeenix?
So we know they're making a Spider-Man game.
Okay,
and that's it. That is it. And we know that they're doing a multi-year, multi-game partnership. That is all we know right now. They have no other information what type of games there are. Are we going to see any old revived games, maybe, that they threw away? Remember we did a show on an old Avengers game? Yeah.
Dude, that would have been Overwatch.
That probably, yeah.
Do you remember?
Because
the mechanically, it was like, did you ever see this dummy? It was
No, what is it?
It was amazing. It was this proposed Marvel game that was going to come out, and think first person, and think each character has their own unique abilities. It's a very character based shooter.
Yes.
But it was just using Marvel characters. It would have been Overwatch.
They actually could do an Overwatch Marvel edition.
Now I bet they would, because they'd try and rip it off.
Yeah, they call it Underwatch.
Yeah, that wouldn't work.
It would join Paladins, and it would join all the other, what was the other clone?
What other thing?
The Chinese one?
Like Battleborn.
Oh, Battleborn.
Oh, Battleborn,
right.
Yeah.
That was a game?
For like a week.
Oh, for like a week.
You know, there's probably a very loyal squad out there that's still like.
His name is Alex Bags.
Yeah. That's it. But it just, let's face it, it lost. It came out at the wrong time. Only thing you can do right now is speculate for, you know, until 2018. That's when the development of the first one apparently is supposed to go underway.
Before we go, Dummy, can you promote all your social media so people know how to find you, and tell people about the awesome new YouTube videos you're putting out?
Yeah, for social media, my Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube are all Dummy Olson. Dummy Olson, just to make sure, because some people actually can't spell that.
What
an
idiot. Who couldn't spell that? Must have been Webb.
Terrible.
But yeah, I mean, I've been streaming a decent amount. It's still not as consistent as it should be, but so I've been streaming, and because of that, I've also been like putting out highlights on my YouTube as well from the streams. But eventually, you know, if it gets a big enough audience and it seems worth it, I'll probably be doing, you know, a lot of commentaries and a lot of different other content for YouTube. It's definitely like right now hard to justify doing that just because, you know, there's not enough hours in the day for me to do like all this content and still practice with the team. But eventually I do plan on expanding out to stuff like that.
I got to record some gameplay with Dummy, and let me tell you, he's an amazing teacher. He's very gentle. I was worried playing with a pro. He'd be like, "Oh, you fucking idiot," like talking shit all this time. And he was actually very nice. And there was times I knew I fucked up. Like I knew. And he'd be like, "No, that was not terrible." So I appreciate his hand in that. And so that's going to be coming out too, a video we're going to do for Gamer Sensei that should be out pretty soon. But Aaron, take us home.
Well, that's all the show that we have now. If you haven't come out to twitch.tv/videogame_bang, you're doing yourself a disservice, because we're going to go into a little bit of overtime, of course, like we always do. But until then, for Dummy, Corey Vincent, the real David Webb, I'm Sir Aaron Carter, saying you have just been banged.